All right, picking back up with our study of words, confessions, and angels, we read two statements at the close of the last session that I want to pick back up with second half, and they are that the reason that God's Word is so important in our lives is that it enables us to order our conversation aright. Well, what difference does that make? The next statement is that God's Word in our mouth brings tremendous results because the authority of heaven and earth are joined together. Now, that's really a summary of all the scriptures that we looked at earlier tonight. So let's think about this for just a few minutes. It matters what we say. Words make all the difference, and they make a difference in a positive way or a negative way. And I know you understand that, and I know you believe it. Here's what I want you to do. Just for a few days, I want you to listen, if you're in a setting to do so, to what people talk about. Now, Tracy was just telling me right before break that she had just read that scientists have done a study on the brain, and they've come up with the number that we think about 40,000 thoughts a day. Is that correct? That a person has about 40,000 thoughts a day, the average person. And we know scripturally that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that 40,000 opportunities to be one way or the other. And we know that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So whatever's going on the inside of us is eventually going to come out. So I challenge you to just listen for a season. Take a couple weeks and just deliberately listen to what people are talking about. I'm talking about good people. I'm talking about people who go to church and who do spend some time every day hearing the word to some degree. I'm not talking about people who don't acknowledge God at all. I'm talking about people who should know. Listen to people's conversations. And I think you will find them talking about everything but the Word of God for the most part. And that is an explanation for why things are going the way they're going. Because I've heard this statement and I like it. We frame our world with our mouth. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't things that come in life that we had nothing to do with. There are circumstances that come our way. We didn't cause them. We didn't choose them. But that's where we are. They came. Okay? I'm talking about some people can be in that situation and come through it. Other people can be in that situation and never get out of it. What's the difference? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our thoughts are formulated into words and actions. And it matters what we say about things. We can't speak the word of God and the word of our enemy. I mean, you can do it. I don't mean it's impossible to do it, but Scripture teaches us like sweet water and bitter water should not flow from the same fountain. We often quote the Word of God or speak a precept of God, and then we undo it by the time we're through talking about the problem some more. We've already built that thing up. We may spend 30 minutes discussing how bad things are. And 2 minutes saying, but I know the Lord will take care of it. I know the Lord heals. Or I know the Lord has mama, you know, in the palm of his hands. So I'm not going to worry about it anymore. But you just spent 30 minutes telling me how awful things are. And less than 1 minute telling me, but I know that. Now, balance it out for yourself. What am I really meditating on? The problem. What am I really talking about? The problem, it doesn't negate your words just because you say, well, bless their hearts. You know, God will look after them. But you just condemned them for 30 minutes for the situation that they're in. Or you speak a problem and spend an enormous amount of time explaining all the details of the problem. That makes it hard for a believer to pray. You know, by the time you give me all the gory details, I have those images and those thoughts in my mind that I have to deal with so that I don't meditate on that, so that I can pull the word to the forefront of my thinking and be able to pray a prayer of faith now that you've told me all that. Okay, I'm just looking at proportions. Proportionately, most people spend more time talking about their problems than we do speaking the solution. And the solution is always the Word of God. So take an inventory, not just of others' conversation, but of your own. And you will even find yourself being pulled into some conversations about things you really don't want to talk about or hear about. Somebody, you know, all the medications that they've been on and tried and they had bad results with and all that. People can talk about that stuff for hours and rattle off these long names of medications with expert knowledge. Hard things to remember. Hard words, hard names. And then you say something simple like, the Lord sent His word to heal us. And they have trouble believing that. Why is it so much easier to believe a lie? Or to speak about all the problems and the woes? Because if we're not led by the Spirit and full of the Word of God, we're flesh dominated. You can be a believer and still be flesh dominated. It's just a matter of who we're letting rule. Does God rule my thought life, or does my flesh rule my thought life? And during the process of the day, both are going on. But so we have to, here's what I'm saying, bottom line. We have to make a deliberate practice, a lifestyle. I mean, deliberate practices eventually become a lifestyle, day by day by day, to know the Word of God, speak the Word of God, listen for the Word of God, and put our shield up with everything else that's going on. Most people, most church-going people, can tell you more about what's going on the news, on the weather station, in the criminal arena of things, with the field of medicine, and with the field of finance and sports, than they can about the Word of God. So where are we putting our emphasis? No wonder we talk like we do. We aren't full of the Word day and night like God told Joshua to be. So we're not making our way prosperous. And we're not making our way toward good success if we talk just like the world does, or if we let the world talk come into us over and over and over again. We've all been in situations where you really don't have any option but to sit and listen sometimes. But throw it out as soon as you get an opportunity. You know, I'm not telling you to be rude. Insert the Word of God if you get an opportunity. But with some people, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to even give you a chance to do it. So get out of that as quick as you can and throw it off so it doesn't get in you. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces of life. Didn't we just study that tonight? Okay. And the way you can tell if you're guarding your heart with all diligence and having the force of God's life flowing out of us is what we're saying, the words that we're saying. And, you know, when God said, my thoughts are way up here, my ways are way up here. But what did Jesus tell us to pray? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So how is it that His will is going to come into earth? It's going to come through believers. It's going to come through believers who know the Word, believe the Word, have faith in the spoken Word of God, hear God speak, and have faith to move and operate on it. So our words bring heaven and earth together. God's Word in my heart, coming forth in faith, is backed by the authority of heaven. And God has magnified His Word above His own name. So heaven is with me when I'm speaking the Word of God in faith. And again, I'm not talking about quoting Scripture. I'm talking about saying what I've heard God say about a situation, or doing what I've heard God tell me to do about a situation. Well, that doesn't come automatically. I have to really tune in for that to be a lifestyle. And so do you. And we're tuned in to most everything else. So we need to be careful what we hear, careful what we listen to, careful what we see. And our mouths have everything to do with what goes on around us. They frame our world. We're going to look at some examples of this a little bit later. I'm really thankful for this study guide, because it helped me realize that God gave His Word to me so that I would do something with it besides underline it in my Bible. He meant for me to get it alive on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit so that I can impact this world He's put me in. He's put me in it on purpose, with purpose, for His purposes. And a lot of what's going to be accomplished is going to come through my words. You may never hear them, because they may be prayer. But God has to have an avenue to operate. He can't just impose His will in earth anytime He wants to. He won't, because He works within the parameters of His own Word. He abides by His Word. He doesn't just force His Word on us. He operates through us. And remember when we studied Genesis last time, that God looked out, what did He see? Darkness, no organization, without form, void, fruitless, nothing. But what did He say? He said, light be. He said what He wanted. What was already loosed, He said it. That's what He wants us to do. It changes the circumstances. It changes the things around us. All right. Let's look at Roman numeral 4, confession and results. What is confession? What do we mean when we say, well, I confess that Jesus is Lord? Confession is assent or agreement or acknowledgement. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. A confession is something that you say, all right, and agree with or acknowledge to be true. Now, confession is not a substitute for faith. So it doesn't mean that I can just say it and say it and say it and say it and it will come to pass. But it is a part of bringing things to pass. One can confess with his mouth and yet doubt in his heart. But when one confesses with his mouth and believes in his heart, really the believing comes first. Because of what we believe, we confess. Then we get God results on things. So confessions can be either good or bad. Our confessions should be in agreement with God's Word. But how can they be if we don't know the Word? or if we're ignorant of the word, or if we've been taught error. I used to think that every prayer you prayed needed to end with, "If it be thy will," because that's what I was taught. And I found out that that's not right. There are a lot of places where I know His will, and I don't need to say if it's your will, because He's already expressed His will, and Jesus has demonstrated His will. So I need to speak the word in faith. Our confession should be in agreement with God's word. Well, I have to know the word, have the word on the inside of me if I'm going to be speaking the word. Our confession can be in agreement with the circumstances. And we've talked about that a lot. If I look out here and what I see is a mess, and we've all done this, then what I say is about how messy a mess that is. And that we tend to do that. You know what? We don't even just report the fact. We exaggerate it. Oh, that's the biggest mess I've ever seen. I mean, ain't nobody ever been in a mess like this mess. My mess is worse than any mess you've ever been in. You know, I mean, we tend to do that. Naturally, it's like you're going to get the prize for being in the worst situation when we all get through with this conversation. Or you're going to get the prize for taking the most medications or having the most doctors or whatever by the time this conversation's over. Oh, if you think that's something, you ought to hear what my husband did. Well, you're going to get the prize for having the worst situation, the worst marriage, or whatever. It's crazy the way people talk. It really is. It's not godly is what it is. It's not godly. And we have to stop it in our lives. I can't help what you say. I can be an influence on you if you'll hang around. But I am responsible. I know better. You're responsible. You know better. We are responsible for godly conversations. And that doesn't mean talking about church all the time either, or how holy we are. In fact, that's a Pharisee's conversation. It means that the words that come out of our mouths should align with God's word. That's what it means. So, are we agreeing with God's word, or are we agreeing with the circumstances? Again, check your conversation for a couple weeks. Listen to others' conversation for a couple weeks. See what they're talking about, and then answer that question for yourself. So confessions, whether negative or positive, will bring results if we believe in our heart that what we're saying with our mouth is going to come to pass. We bring it to pass because we have faith in our words. Man's heart is the reservoir from which his mouth draws words. Okay, let's look at Matthew 12:34. So all these words are on the inside of me in my heart, and I draw them out with my mouth, don't I? Let's see, what did I say? Matthew 12:34. Well, if I'm full of words and my mouth draws them out, what if all the words in me are not God's word? What if most of the words in me are not God's word? You know how proportion works? And probability? If I'm full of everything but God's word, and you dip in, what are you going to draw out? Everything but God's word. So you don't have anything else to draw out. There's nothing else there. If I'm mostly full of everything else, what are your odds of getting anything godly out of me? If I'm half full of the world's words and half full of God's word, you got a 50-50 chance of coming out with something godly, or not. But if I'm full of the Word of God and I'm putting it in me deliberately, as a practice. That is my lifestyle. I am putting this word in my tank, in my reservoir. Then what are you going to get when you draw out? What is my mouth going to come out with when it draws out from that holding tank there? What comes out when your bucket gets bumped? I've heard it put that way. You know, if I'm full of the Word, you're going to get the Word in one fashion or another. And by that I mean it'll be aligned with the Word. It'll be a principle in the Word. It'll be the wisdom of the Lord. It'll be instruction that aligns with God's Word. It will be godly in its content if what's in me is godly. So I see from that that my well-being, as well as others around me, is dependent upon what I have on the inside of me. Because what I have on the inside of me is what is going to come out for my life and for those around me. And if we pour into our children the Word of God, then they're going to prosper. If we pour into our children the Word of the world, if that's what they're hearing all the time, then they don't have a chance outside the mercy of God. All right, Matthew 12:34. Now, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he's telling them, he's told his disciples that you can tell of what kind of tree is growing by the fruit that it produces, okay? Look back to 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. That's what, when I say God results or lifestyle, I'm talking about the fruit of our life. Brood of vipers, Jesus says to the Pharisees, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And then he goes on to say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. And that word idle is inactive or unemployed or useless. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now that says a lot, doesn't it? Words matter. Man's tongue is as the pen of a ready writer, the Psalms teaches, Psalm 45:1. Let's look there just a minute. Psalm 45:1. Begins like this, my heart is overflowing with a good matter or a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer or a skillful writer. In other words, I speak words, and that's like my heart penning out, that my tongue writes what's in my heart. Just as a writer prints words on a page, so does the tongue print words into the heart of man. The tongue is more powerful than the pen, though, because it operates in both the physical and the spiritual realms. When you put physical words on physical paper, they're physical. But when you speak those words, They become not just physical anymore, but spiritual. Okay? Words impact the spirit realm. The results of man's confession is determined by the heart. By the way, back to Psalm 45:1 for just a minute. I like the way this begins because he says, "My heart is overflowing with a good thing." How can it be that my heart is overflowing with a good thing so that the pen of my tongue or my mouth is writing or speaking good things? He says, I really like it better in the King James Version. "I recite my composition concerning the king." How does it say? Having been in touch with the king. In other words, when I spend time with the king, and the king is Jesus, then my tongue will be writing the words in life, my life and others' lives, that I have gained having been in his company. I got those words from Jesus. Okay? I write this theme because I spend time with Jesus. That's why my talk is different from the world's talk. That's why your talk is different from the world's talk. And the more time we spend in communion and communication with the King, the more ready our pen will be to write the things of God. The more ready our words will be, the more skillful our words will be in the things of God. Okay? The results of a man's confession is determined by the heart. Mark 11:23-24. I want to reiterate something that I said when we started this. This is a study guide. There's so many more scriptures about our words than what are in this study guide. There's so many more examples of the importance of the spoken word than what we'll look at and study in the scriptures. So let this be a springboard for you. I just encourage you to really spend some time, now that we're wrapping up the master's classes, spend some time in this study guide finding more examples of words, confessions, and then angels going into operation, because this is, you know, this is just a beginning place, a launching pad for you. Mark 11:23-24. Jesus said back in 22, "Have faith in God," and in verse 23 of Mark 11, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says," and there's an important word, we're talking about confessions now, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea," and here's an important phrase, "and does not doubt in his heart," which lets me know I can say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," but if I don't think it's going to happen, my words have no impact. But if I say with conviction, if I say in faith, believing to this mountain, if I don't doubt in my heart, but believe that those things that I say will be done, then he will have, that person will have whatever he says. Now that's a powerful verse of scripture. And boy, we're not there yet, I can tell you that. Because that's hard for me to even believe what I'm reading there. But it's written in red in my Bible. That means Jesus said this. You know, there are a few things that are said in the scriptures that if I hadn't known Jesus, if I didn't know Jesus said it, I'd really struggle with it. I know Jesus said this. It's recorded right here. I'm going to read it again. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." It's already done. That means you have faith. Faith is the evidence of things seen or not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof you already have. Faith possesses it before seeing it with the natural eyes. So when you pray, if you pray in faith, you already have it. I think that's an amazing scripture. It means my heart is settled on the thing. It's done. As far as I'm concerned, it's done. I don't know when it'll manifest. I don't know how it'll manifest. I just know it will. Because God said it in His Word, and I've aligned my heart, and I believe it. And I'm confessing it, or praying it. And I know it'll come. It will manifest. And that's a good gauge for where we stand when we pray. When I finish talking to the Lord about it, or agreeing with the Lord about it, is it done in my thinking? Or do I go away rolling it over again? What if, what if, what if? Or is it settled? And now it's just a matter of God's timing. If I'm really settled, then I believed it. And I had it when I prayed it. Okay? Well, we're out of time for this evening, so we will come back to this study. And I'll be looking forward to that.